Well, we're continuing in our sermon series this morning, Joy on the Other Side, and our text for this morning is Psalm 81. If you have your Bibles, please feel free to turn there with me to Psalm 81, and we will discover what exactly is on the other side in our text for this morning. Joy is on the other side of what? Well, we will find out today. Psalm 81, if you don't have your Bible, please feel free to take a pew Bible, and we'll stand now for the reading of God's Word. Sing aloud to God our strength, shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, a rule of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts, to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, for the Psalms, which are the songbook of the church, the prayer book of the church, and the playbook of the church. Help us, Lord, to receive the joy that comes from your word and from this psalm. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And down here in the horrid house, Mr. and Mrs. Twit are still stuck upside down on the floor of the living room. It's all your fault, yelled Mr. Twit, thrashing his legs in the air. You're the one, you ugly old cow, who was hopping around shouting, "We're upside down, we're upside down." And you're the one who said to stand on our heads so we'd be right way up, you whiskerly old warthog, screams Mrs. Twit. Now we'll never get free. We're stuck here forever. You may be stuck here forever, said Mr. Twit, but not me. I'm going to get away. Mr. Twit wiggled and squirmed, and he squiggled and wormed, and he twisted and turned, and he chogged and he churned. But the sticky glue held him to the floor. He was still as upside down as ever, standing on his head. But heads are not made to be stood upon. If you stand on your head for a very long time, a horrid thing happens, and this was where Mr. Twit got his biggest shock of all. With so much weight on it from up above, his head began to get squished into his body. Quite soon, it had disappeared completely, sunk out of sight in the fatty folds of his flabby neck. I'm shrinking, burbled Mr. Twit. So am I, cries Mrs. Twit. Help me, save me, call a doctor, yelled Mr. Twit. I'm getting the dreaded shrinks. And so he was. Mrs. Twit was getting the dreaded shrinks too. And this time it wasn't fake, it was the real thing. Their heads shrank into their necks. Then their necks began shrinking into their bodies. And their bodies began shrinking into their legs. And their legs began shrinking into their feet. 1 week later, on a nice sunny afternoon, a man called Fred came round to read the gas meter. When nobody answered the door, Fred peeped into the house, and there he saw on the floor of the living room two bundles of old clothes. two pairs of shoes, and a walking stick. There was nothing more left in this world of Mr. and Mrs. Twit. And everyone, including Fred, shouted, "Hooray!" That was the concluding chapter of Roald Dahl's story, The Twits. If you've read the book, you know that the Twits are spiteful, idle, quarreling, unkempt couple who continuously play nasty practical jokes on each other. And as they amuse themselves and exercise their wickedness on their pet monkeys. The Twits, seems to me, perhaps is obvious to you, are symbols. Symbols of pride, disobedience, vicious character. Dahl described them in large and grotesque terms so that we could all see what to avoid. And I think what Dahl was trying to communicate to children, but to adults alike, is that a life like the Twits is a diminishing life, an evaporating life, a shrinking life. It evaporates and shrinks because it is a joyless life. And while joy has the capacity to stick around, because joy has permanence, a grumbling, quarreling, disobedient life fades away. And when we read of the nation of Israel at the waters of Meribah, as we have in our text for this morning, as Psalm 81 makes reference to the waters of Meribah and the quarreling and grumbling that was experienced by the people of God, or experienced by God through the people of God there at the waters of Meribah. We have in our text this morning this reference, and as I read it, I tend to think of the Twits when I think of Israel there at the waters. Israel got a dreaded case of the shrinks at Meribah. Not from getting glued upside down, but through their disobedience, through their quarreling, through their grumbling with God. And that generation faded. It shrunk away in the wilderness. Psalm 81 is not a psalm about grumbling. It is a psalm of joy. It begins by speaking of joy and calling the people to shout for joy. If you still have your Bibles open and you can look and reference the psalm, Psalm 81, verse 1 begins with this: "Sing aloud to God our strength, shout for joy. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob." It is a psalm of joy. But it's also a psalm that tells us something very specific about how to receive joy, which is our big idea for this morning. Joy is on the other side. And joy, according to Psalm 81, is on the other side of obedience. The psalmist is telling us that we will not receive joy. He begins with joy, but we will not receive with joy. We will not walk in joy without first submitting our lives to God, without putting our faith in Christ. Obedience to God is the door that we must all walk through if we are going to enter into joy and inhabit a land of joy. Joy is on the other side of obedience. It was this insight that I received, I believe, from the Lord a number of months ago, that joy is on the other side of obedience, that really launched my whole thinking about joy this summer. My desire and interest for us as a congregation, the necessity I believe that God was laying upon us to read the Psalms and sing the Psalms and focus on the Psalms and the sacraments this summer, because joy is on the other side of obedience. I remember sharing this insight with folks on the staff and others and watching almost instantaneously the puzzlement that would come over their faces. Joy is on the other side of obedience? I also watch them stick with it and work, have that idea work on them. And slowly over time, the light would turn on and you could see the joy start to take shape in their hearts and their faces. Joy is on the other side of obedience. And a shrinking, fading life is on the other side of grumbly disobedience. Joy has permanence. Quarreling, grumbling does not. Psalm 81 trains us in obedience and prepares us for joy in a particular way. Because Psalm 81 is what I'm calling a Shema Psalm. It's a Hebrew term, Shema. Some of you may be familiar with it, may have heard that term. We'll describe it in just a moment. Psalm 81 was likely composed as a festival song to be sung at feast days. The opening four verses give reference to the feasts and to, therefore, is a reference to the Sabbath, but also probably to the high holy days. There's a reference to the new moon festival. Likely, the psalm was sung at the Feast of Booths and also Rosh Hashanah. It is a festive psalm. It's a psalm of celebration and joy for feast time, but it is also a psalm that calls Israel and calls the church to remember. It calls us to remembrance for all that God has done and to remember what the people have done or and left undone. And what was often left undone? Obedience. Now, some of you are familiar with this term Shema. You've heard of the Shema prayer, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, which begins, "Hear, O Israel, Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Shema prayer, sometimes referenced or referred to as the Jesus prayer, because Jesus, along with all of Israel, would recite this prayer twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. The word Shema is translated hear, hear. It's called the Shema prayer because the prayer begins with the word hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And hear does have reference to listen, an auditory reality. Israel is listening to what is being prayed and what God is saying. But the word Shema also means equally obey. To hear is to obey. In the Israelite world and Semitic culture, to hear is to obey. It was the predicate behind which we raised our children. I've shared this with you before. We would call their names. Hannah, and the appropriate response was not, "What?" It's, "Coming. I'm on my way. I heard you. And I know that when you call me, you are asking me to come." It's one of the principles that we use here in our academy. It Holly follows in our kindergarten is first time asked. Because to hear is to obey. That is the biblical reality. God wants us to hear and to obey. And so if we are to look at verses 8 through 14, there are a number of references to the word hear. Shema is used five times, actually, in Psalm 81 and alluded to a sixth time. And so the predominant message of Psalm 81 is to hear God and obey Him, because joy is on the other side of obedience. If we were to reword verses 8 through 14, we could reword it legitimately this way. Obey, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but obey me. But my people did not obey my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would obey me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Hear, obey. Why? Because joy is on the other side. But Israel didn't obey. Not in the wilderness. Not at the waters of Meribah. They were twits. They were stuck like heads glued on a floor, and through the hardness of their hearts, they were upside down and self-directed and self-authorized and self-indulgent and unsubmitted, and therefore shrinking and diminishing and fading away until they became an altogether forgotten generation. And so God calls us in Psalm 81 to remember. Don't forget. Don't forget what happened at the waters of Meribah. Don't forget the cost of grumbling, of quarreling, of disobedience. God says, I am calling you to joy. And joy is on the other side of obedience. Now here's the real problem. I'm going to share it with you. The real problem that Israel was facing, the real problem that you and I are facing today, I'm going to describe your problem. I'm going to try to make it abundantly clear. God is calling us to obedience because joy is on the other side of obedience. And the problem is you cannot obey. I am unable to obey. We are incapable of obedience. You are twits. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make that sound pejorative. I'm just describing with accuracy the situation. I'm a twit. You're a twit. We are twits who are glued to the floor, upside down, and we cannot move. And unless someone or something intervenes, we will shrink and fade into nothing. That's the problem. But there's good news. You cannot obey and please God, but Christ can. And he has. He did for you. He came in obedience to the Father. He gave his life on the cross in obedience to the Father. He submitted everything he did, everything he said was in obedience to the Father. And he does that for you. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us, admonishes us, commands us to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him obeyed and endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We cannot obey God because we are sinners who are in need of a Savior. We are twits that are glued to the floor, shrinking and dying. And unless God intervenes, unless God delivers us like Israel that was delivered out of bondage and decay in Egypt, we are lost. But the good news is, he came. He came for you. He came to write your life back up, and to set it on firm ground, and to give you a life of peace and hope and a future and glory. And all of that brings us joy, but it can only be received by obedience. Not ours, but Christ's. We are not obedient to God except by faith. We trust in Christ's obedience. And then through Christ, and only through Christ, and through his glorious, obedient character deposited in us by grace, can we then live to God, obey the Father, and walk in joy. Joy is on the other side of our obedience, because it's on the other side of Christ's obedience for us. And so the question is, do you trust Christ? Are you giving your life to Christ? Do you walk by faith in Christ? Do you obey Christ? God's program for joy is working. I want to acknowledge that there have been several significant disruptions in our church over the last few years. COVID was a huge disruption to our lives, to the way we lived in our world, in our communities, the way we interact with our neighbors. It was a huge disruption. There have been disruptions in this church, staff changes, accusations, charges filed. But I believe these disruptions are signs, not of failure, but of gospel success. God's program for joy is working. Perhaps you've experienced disruption in your own life. Perhaps God has unearthed things, disrupted things, torn things apart. Perhaps He's separating things in your life or separating you from things to which you are tightly welded and glued to, but you are diminishing and dying. And you feel the disruption. You sense the disruption. You know it's happening. It is not a sign of failure. It's a sign that God's program for joy is working because it is calling us to greater and greater levels of obedience and greater levels of trust and faith in Almighty God. The disruptions are a result of the call of God within our lives and within our church for a greater measure of obedience to Christ. And that's what's so desperately needed in this negative world. Negative world will go away. It will fade away. Why? Because grumbling and quarreling is not permanent. Joy is permanent. And so positive world will come again, but we find ourselves in this negative moment. And what is needed in this negative moment? Joy. And how does joy come? Through obedience. Joy is on the other side of obedience. The disruption of disobedience that God is instigating in our lives, in our church, it is making possible the future eruptions of joy if we believe, if we have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Then we will enjoy peace, we will enjoy health, we will enjoy a positive world in our church, in our lives, for years to come, because joy is on the other side of obedience. It's working. It's all working. The Lord is disrupting things and revealing to us just where it is that we're stuck, where it is that we're upside down, where we're insisting on our own way, why it is that some of us are at risk of shrinking and fading away. But all that disruption is God's mercy, because it's an invitation to believe. It's an invitation to obey. There is an antidote to the shrinks. There is a way to experience joy. Joy is in Christ. Joy is on the other side of obedience. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we confess that we are suffering from the deadly shrinks as we seek ourselves, as we find ourselves at the waters of Meribah, we grumble. Oh, Lord, help us to remember, as the psalm calls us to remember and to hear and to obey and to recognize that joy is your destiny for us, but joy is found on the other side, not in our obedience, but in Christ's obedience, and we trust in Him. Help us to follow Him, to give our lives to Him, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.